Hi, I'm Michael Mueller, and I'm grilling up some chicken in Tinley Park. And you're listening to Outside the Loop, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Oh yeah, that sounds delicious. Grill on, Michael. Good morning and welcome to Outside the Loop. Yes, this is Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. I am Mike Steven. Great to be here with you today here on this show, number 869. And what we do here on this program is take a look at local issues and topics that don't always get mainstream media attention. Bob Ferguson is our engineer in the WGN radio studio today. So good morning to Bob. And I hope you are having a great weekend so far. Or if you're listening on the podcast, whatever time of day, whatever part of the week this is in for you, I hope it's good. All right, we've got a lot to do on the show. I mean, we're talking about Chicago Science Fest, which is coming up next weekend, and we'll learn about some brand new local music with, for sure, an incredible world flair to it, and the secret history of Chicago music, a multi-instrumentalist, Durf Renclaw. You've probably never heard of him, but wow, what a cool dude. And he is from right here in Chicago, so we will learn about his story. Hey, speaking of music, were you at that small concert that was happening at Soldier Field last weekend? I think her name was it Terry Swift? Oh, no, Taylor Swift, right. Taylor Swift, she has a bright future ahead of her. Boy, she brought her crew to Soldier Field for a few nights last weekend, and because of that, check this out, hotel occupancy in Chicago averaged 96.8% for those three shows. That is the best we've ever done in Chicago. She broke a record. The record number of hotel rooms booked for those three concerts because of that tour, an average of 44,383 hotel rooms were occupied each night on Friday and Saturday in Chicago. Wow. That's an all-time high. She has helped Chicago break the record. That is according to Choose Chicago. We've never seen that happen before. So Taylor Swift, come on back anytime. She is an economic engine, and a lot of people had a great time at that show. So that's good news for Chicago. And other music news here, Muddy Waters, the great Muddy Waters. You know, last week on this show, we talked about that blues documentary Born in Chicago, and Muddy Waters, who spent a lot of time here in Chicago, one of the founders of what we know as blues, really modern blues. His house is now one step closer to becoming a museum. His house, located at 4339 South Lake Park Avenue, he moved into that house in 1954, and Muddy Waters lived there with his family until 1973. It was the only home he ever owned in Chicago. It's a historical place. And so the Muddy Waters Mojo Museum got a $1.1 million grant from the Mellon Foundation's Humanities in Place program. So that is great news. That's one step closer to becoming a museum. He lived in the first floor. The basement was a practice space, and the top floors were apartments where people like Howlin' Wolf could come and stay. I mean, oh, how awesome is that? I love stories like that. So that's good news. I like good news. I like you because you're listening to Outside the Loop. Hey, if you like science, well, you're in luck because there is a local event just for you and everyone who loves science. It's coming up next Saturday, June 17th. You can check out the Chicago Science Festival. It's taking place at the International Museum of Surgical Science at 1524 North Lakeshore Drive. And the Illinois Science Council is the nonprofit organization that is putting on this event. Monica Metzler is the founder and executive director of the Illinois Science Council, and she joins us here on Outside the Loop once again. Monica, welcome back. It's been a while.
It's been a while, Mike. Thank you. It is fantastic to be here, I must say.
Well, it's great to have you here. And I know that you're always very busy over at the Illinois Science Council. And really, like, you do just a bunch of wonderful events, cocktail parties, comedy, all this stuff that's, you know, like, so much fun. And science is part of that. So really, this is like an extension of the stuff that you've been doing.
Right. Exactly. And so that's our thing, is pointing out to people that science, no matter what experience you may have had in high school or college or whatever, that maybe wasn't ideal, science is really fun. And that's really what ISC is all about, is showing people that science is not about being forced to memorize facts or terms or something like that. Science is just about being curious. It literally is just like the professionalization of being curious about the world around us. And for us, it's, you don't have to be a practicing scientist. We do not expect you to go get a PhD in neuroscience or physics or anything like that. That is not what we're here for. In the same way that Chicago's arts and culture sector doesn't exist to try to make me a professional actress, singer, dancer, thank God.
Right? Sure.
So it exists basically just to help us, you know, become more well-rounded individuals and a more well-rounded society. And so that's what we do for science and technology. And just because it's really fun and interesting. So we do programs, as you say, year-round, all sorts of topics, author talks, film screenings, panel discussions, topical talks. We do things like hands-on chemistry of beer at a brewery and chemistry of chocolate and stuff like that. But what we do with the Chicago Science Festival, so this is our annual big event, we kind of pull all that together for one day, and get people to just like immerse themselves in the fun of science.
It's like the coolest science fair you've ever been to. I mean, like you were saying, you know, oh yes. My goodness, I'm having flashbacks to high school about the science fair and junior high. Oh no, this is like the coolest science fair you can ever experience. And it's a lot of fun.
This is science for grown-ups. Yeah, this is science for grown-ups. Seriously, and that's what I say. It's hard to make people. This is not science fair, like, you know, fourth graders with exploding volcanoes. This is some of the top scientists in the region coming to talk to you in person, get your questions answered right then and there from some of the best experts in climate science and astrophysics and species conservation and what else we got. AI and global climate change. Actually, we got people going to talk about how AI is used in astrophysics and also in climate change modeling. We have a forensic scientist who's going to talk about forensic science and anthropology. And it's fascinating what really old bones and skeletons can tell us about the way people lived in Chicago 100 years ago. We have somebody who's going to talk about how the brain processes visual images and thinking, like, why would you remember some photo, some image you see for the rest of your life, and other things you saw yesterday are completely forgettable? And they can predict that with your brain. So there's a whole array of talks. Get your questions answered by real experts right then and there. And then there are going to be tons of demos that you can hang out, you know, you can check into that are, you know, in-person live demos. You can see all of the museum exhibits. And then also we're going to have like a social hour at the end of the day. So hang out, have a drink, have some snacks, and hang out and chat with a bunch of scientists. So it's really fun.
This sounds like a ton of fun. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's the coolest science fair you'll ever go to. So we want to give out the website here, because if we want to go to this, we have to get tickets, and that's ChicagoScienceFest.org. ChicagoScienceFest.org. That's the website that we can go to and get tickets for the Chicago Science Fest. Again, it's coming up next Saturday, June 17th in Chicago at the International Museum of Surgical Science on Lakeshore Drive. You know, you said a couple things in our conversation here, Monica, about, first of all, AI. I mean, AI over the last half a year or so has really just skyrocketed in popularity and, of course, in terms of the conversation that we're having here. So that is something I know you're talking about. There's a presentation on AI and astrophysics, but that's something that falls right in the purview of Chicago Science Fest and the Illinois Science Council.
Yeah, and that's what I sort of mean is, like, this is, you know, it's such a hot topic right now, But for so much of us, it's like, really, is it just about students, you know, copying, you know, papers or something? No, it's like, let's hear from some scientists about what they think it's worthwhile. How does it work? How does it help them do their work, you know, from things as very diverse as astrophysics, looking at galaxies and climate change and clouds. You know, the speaker from Argonne is going to be talking about how they monitor clouds. Like, how fun to just think about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of climate change, and I know the AI topic really ties into that this week. I mean, we looked out the window and we saw a little bit of a haze in the sky because of these Canadian wildfires that have been burning, and other areas of the country have been getting hit way harder than we have. So this is all something that, like, again, you look out the window and this stuff is unfolding in front of our eyes, and now we get to dive deeper in it.
Exactly. And that's really what Science Council is all about. We take something like that, like, okay, wildfires in Canada are infecting our weather here, but it's due to climate change. And we've got this whole thing of like, well, why are we struggling so much with climate change in our world? Well, it's because, frankly, there are just too many people who sort of don't get it, don't understand it, don't believe it. And why is that? Well, it's because they don't understand things and they haven't had science brought to them in an engaging, fun, and interesting way. You know, that's what we want to do. That science is not just for kids. This idea that the STEM acronym, science, technology, engineering, math, people think, oh, that's for kids. That's K through 12. That's after school programs. I'm like, no, science is part of your everyday life and it's part of your whole lifespan. So that's what we do, is serve as the adult complement to kid-focused science outreach. And that's what we're doing with the Science Festival.
And there's such a love of it. I mean, you know, I love it. I'm definitely not a math guy, I would say, but I am more of a science. I like science. Yeah, it's cool. It's really fun. So I think there's also that stigma of like, well, I don't do this. My part of the brain is over here. It's arts and whatever. No, you can love
that
science too.
This is me, Mike. That's what I sort of say. That's why I started Science Council. And this is like a shocker to many people. Big reveal. I have no science background whatsoever. Seriously. The last real science I had was high school chemistry.
Yeah.
I think I did okay. I think I got a B. I mean, you know, so what I mean is like, that's why I do Science Council. That's why I do these programmings, not because I have a PhD in something or get paid from the science sector. It's because I think it's interesting and it's relevant to our lives and it's helpful to our everyday lives to understand how things work, not just medical decisions, but learning this stuff in fun ways, because it is. It's fun to exercise your sense of curiosity. And there's no tests, there's no exams, no responsibilities to attending Science Fest other than, well, visit ChicagoScienceFest.org and get yourself a ticket. But just to come and enjoy. That's what it's really about.
That's what it's about. Enjoy yourself. Learn some stuff. Have fun. ChicagoScienceFest.org is the website. ChicagoScienceFest.org. You need to get a ticket if you'd like to go to the Chicago Science Fest, which is taking place next Saturday, June 17th. It's at the International Museum of Surgical Science on Lakeshore Drive in Chicago. And the Illinois Science Council is the driving force behind this. Lots of great speakers, demonstrations. There's a social hour. It's going to be great. Monica Metzler is the founder and executive director of the Illinois Science Council. Again, ChicagoScienceFest.org is the website. Hey, Monica, thank you so much for talking to us. Great to talk to you again. And this sounds like a great event. Good luck with it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mike. It's always great to chat with you. We hope we'll see you next Saturday at Science Fest.
Let's talk about some local music with a definite world flair. Music from the Sarabi Ensemble. Check out sarabiensemble.org. A really amazing group. And Carlo Basile is the guitarist in this group, and he's one of the band leaders, and he is here with us today on Outside the Loop. Carlo, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here this morning.
Nice to have you along, and lots of good things happening in your world. You have a show with the ensemble. We'll talk about that. That's coming up at the end of June at the City Winery in Chicago. So let's talk about the group, the band, I guess. It's an ensemble, though. So you aren't just a band. You have music for sure, but there's also elements of dance in there. Tell us what you're all about.
Right. So we're kind of a global fusion of a few different styles that are actually, they're related to each other when we start pulling it apart historically. So you have, you know, Spanish flamenco guitar, which has roots from all the way from Rajasthan, India. So we have some Indian dance. There was also influence in that region of Andalusia from Africa, you know, the Moors. And so we have music. Sometimes we have African percussion from Senegal or from Mali. And then, you know, there's also an element, of course, of the Arabic rule that was in the south of Spain. So we have Arabic elements in our group. So all of those things, if you could imagine, have some musical and dance relationships, and we kind of explore those things. And, you know, you could probably do 10 different versions of that exploration. And, you know, we just kind of go along and create music and create choreography. Everybody in the group is doing quite well on their own. So they all have their own projects. Ronnie Mali, the oud player, you know, he travels around the world giving lectures on Arabic music. Saraswati, the Indian veena player, is a world-class player. She's always featured in the Chicago World Music Festival. So everybody is doing fine on their own. But when we come together, we wanted it to be more than just like a jam session, because that's what you get a lot of times. You get like these great musicians, and it's not a bad thing, because sometimes really cool stuff happens from jam sessions. But we take it a little bit further. So there's a little bit more work put into the tunes, into the choreography. And what we get is a nice world kind of global fusion sound and look. And it's wonderful to watch. And it's also, hopefully, it's like, you know, candy for the ears, too.
It really is. I mean, we talk about fusion, and I feel like, you know, I've had many musicians on this show over the years, and sometimes you get the jazz fusion or the, you know, rock and blues or whatever. I mean, this is truly world music fusion, and you just said it right there. I mean, the influences, where this stuff is coming from, and when it's put together, to me, it's just strikingly beautiful music, you know?
But we have a huge palette now we can choose from. And so it's like, it's fun. Like when you start to create a piece, you know, there's a new piece on one of the records, Mali Farka, which is from this, it was inspired by this amazing guitarist from Mali, Africa, called Ali Farka. And so I called the tune Mali Farka, but basically I wanted it to be all of my, you know, I made a few trips to Senegal, and I thought about, well, what would I use for this? And so, you know, the African kora, which is like the 21 string harp, you know, obviously Spanish guitar, because that's what I play. And then I thought about, well, we have to have the talking drum from Senegal, you know? So like you start to think about each tune is like, what are the elements? And then, you know, just go ahead and put it together. And a lot of it kind of writes itself sometimes, you know, cause you have these sounds already. It's just a really nice, soundscape to work with.
It's amazing. This group has been around for, I believe, about 12 years or so. But for you specifically, playing this type of guitar, how did you get started with playing this way? I mean, it's such a beautiful way of playing, such a rhythmic and dynamic way of playing guitar. How did that happen for you?
Right. So, you know, I grew up in Chicago. So as you might imagine, you know, I started playing in rock bands when I was a teenager, and then I got, you know, pushed towards the area of Chicago blues, right? You know, Muddy Waters down at Navy Pier back in the day, and you know, that sort of a thing. And then the Chicago R&B and soul sound, I played in kind of a soul group. I still do some Otis Redding music with an old soul singer that I work with a Spanish guitar flare, which is kind of fun.
Wow.
And yeah, and so then I decided I didn't have enough musical knowledge, and I went back to school a little bit later to get a second degree in Spanish guitar classical. And then I spent some time in Spain, and I got a master's degree as well in Spanish guitar performance. And so started picking up these rhythms, started working with different people locally who were from other parts. You know, I'm from Chicago, but these people were from other parts of the globe. And so then I would be encouraged, oh, go to India, you know, learn some ragas, you know, go to Africa, work with a kora player, you know, that sort of thing, you know, still having the Spanish guitar foundation to everything. So I kind of used that as my base, and then I kind of broadened from there. And I guess it's just curiosity, you know. I mean, that's the thing. When I tell people, they're like, well, how did you do this? And what would you suggest? And how could I go about this? I'm just like, hey, man, be curious about other people's cultures and music, yeah. And you're going to be led the correct way. You'll just do the right things, you know. So that's kind of how it all started. And that's, you know, and then you add a bunch of years to that. You know, I'm not a kid anymore. So it just adds up, you know.
It's amazing in Chicago. I mean, how lucky are you and are we to be here? Because you have, sure, you went to some of these places, but you have and you had access to people where that was the culture, and they all come to Chicago, and you were able to tap into that here. And you can't say that in other places across the United States.
Well, you can't say that in other places across the world too. You know, we're lucky being in the U.S., being in a place that people want to come to. Every year we do a performance for incoming students at UIC, and they're from around the globe. They're usually from India, or they're from Asia, or some of them are from Hispanic countries, you know, like Colombia, or, you know, from South America. And our group is perfect for that. But I think about it, I'm like, wow, all these people want to come here. And yes, I'm super, super lucky to have an American passport, first of all, because I can go wherever I want. Yeah. Not everybody can do that. Second of all, just to have this amazing diversity here in this city. And, you know, it's definitely something to be celebrated.
Absolutely. So let's talk about what you have coming up towards the end of June. This is a show with a Sarabi ensemble that's coming up at the City Winery. That's at 1200 West Randolph in Chicago in the West Loop neighborhood. It's a great room. So Monday, June 26th, 8 o'clock show. Tell us about what's coming up.
Well, I always like to pick a Monday or a Tuesday. Everybody's like, well, why do you want to do that? I'm like, so we don't have competition with tons of other events going on.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there's not a lot going on that evening with all of the NASCAR and all of the Taylor Swift and all that other stuff. There's not a lot going on that particular Monday. So if you're looking for something to do that's super cool on a Monday night, that's the idea. You come to City Winery. You can get in early. The doors open at 6. You can have dinner there, which is always nice.
Yep.
A glass of wine before the show. And we love the venue. I mean, they've been super supportive of Sarabi and our projects. You know, when we did our trip to Vietnam and Senegal and Spain and all that, they were one of the supporters. And they've always, like, backed us up, which is super great. I mean, just to have our expenses covered on a Monday night walking in there is wonderful. And so we always appreciate that it's a great venue for the audience and for the artists. And so we're happy to be at City Winery on Monday the 26th. And in terms of the show itself, there's a few things. So we're going to go to India next year, and we've got already things lined up in Gujarat, in Goa, in Bangalore. University performances, festival performances, you name it. We're playing for the gay prince of Gujarat in his castle.
Wow.
So, yes, he's definitely a LGBTQ supporter in India. And, you know, we want to get behind that. So he's invited us to perform there. We have all kinds of interesting things coming up. So we'll debut some of the material for that tour. We did a show called Scenes from the Pandemic for the World Music Festival. And, you know, the world and, of course, everybody in Chicago has gone through a crazy time over the last 3 years. And we wanted to write some music and dance about it in a positive way. I mean, I think we address some of the more intense aspects of it in the full show. But for this particular performance, we're going to play some more uplifting pieces that we got out of the things that came out of the pandemic for us. And then one other thing on kind of a sad note, we lost one of our percussionists from Senegal in March, and we wanted to acknowledge his loss as a group and to our audience. And so we put together a montage of video and a little tribute to Modu from Senegal, who was living in Chicago and New York City and passed away in March. So we wanted to do a little performance. And his brother-in-law, who was the talking drummer from the Black Panther movie, like amazing rock star that he is, will be in to be part of the tribute. So
wow.
That's pretty cool.
That is super cool. Well, that is going to be a great show. That show is coming up on Monday, June 26th at the City Winery. Doors open at 6, shows at 8 o'clock, 1200 West Randolph in Chicago in the West Loop neighborhood. We should all check out sarabiensemble.org because this is an amazing group, and we're so lucky that they're here in Chicago, and they'll be all over the world in the not-too-distant future. Carlo Basile is the guitarist and one of the band leaders of the Sarabi Ensemble. Carlo, thank you so much for talking to us today. Keep doing what you're doing. The music is great.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And we're looking forward to the show and just more good things to come. Hopefully we're out of the woods with this pandemic.
Occasionally in the Chicago Reader, you will see the column, The Secret History of Chicago Music. It is hand-drawn by local musician, music historian, and artist Plastic Crime Wave. He's also known as Steve Krakow. This strip profiles a local musician or a band who never quite made it to the big time. So right now, let's dim those lights. Let's fire up the old hi-fi as we travel to Chicago's Ukrainian Village neighborhood and enter
The Secret History of Chicago Music.
Oh yes, once again connecting across town to the lair of an apartment of one Mr. Steve Krakow, who is the author of The Secret History of Chicago Music Strip in the Chicago Reader. And this week, Steve, this is an interesting dude. He is a multi-instrumentalist, and the name is probably not one that we are just going to say, oh, sure, that rolls right off the tongue. It's Derf Reklaw, R-E-K-L-A-W, Derf spelled D-E-R-F, Derf Reklaw. This is quite the story, isn't it?
It is. It is. I mean, I ended up writing a pretty long piece, and it could have been even longer, much to my editor's dismay. but I attempted to reel in this guy's career, and it's just, it's insane. The scope of Mr. Reklaw's, CV is insane, and the instruments he played. And, you know, as you probably know, I've been on sort of a, you know, soul, jazz, funk kind of kick. And, you know, we all go through these musical phases, and this guy did it all. And then some, you know, and I've been sort of covering Ramsey Lewis side guys inadvertently, you know, due to who passed through Ramsey Lewis's band. And, you know, that's just one minor thing that Derf did.
Yeah.
You know, it's intense.
Did everyone play with Ramsey Lewis at one point? I feel like there's like 6 degrees of Ramsey Lewis in Chicago.
We could probably play that game. And it's pretty funny because I ride on my bike path, maybe I've mentioned before, I usually go down Augusta from my neighborhood because it's a little more chill of a street than Division or North Avenue. And you pass by Wells High School, where the man himself went to school and met a lot of his side men, you know, in his class, basically. And Curtis Mayfield went there as well. So his presence looms large.
How yes. about we'll say
that in Chicago?
And my grandparents went to Wells High School.
Hey, then, whoa.
What's happening today? This is, oh.
There's a big Ramsey event coming up, I believe, at Pritzker Pavilion. A tribute to the recently passed giant, Mr. Lewis. I believe author Aaron Cohen, who just wrote a book with Ramsey on his whole life, is involved as well. So I think that's coming up next month.
That's very cool. All right, let's talk about Derf Reklaw here. So he was born Frederick George Walker, born in Chicago, January of 1947. And we said that he is a multi-instrumentalist. So we're talking percussion. He was playing the flute. He was composing music. Tell us how he gets his start here.
Well, you know, like a lot of kids, I think he just kind of started off banging on the, you know, the family's kitchen cabinets and stuff. And, you know, he just luckily was, you know, handed a couple instruments when he was young. One of his cousins gave him some bongos. His brother basically enlisted in the service and gave him his flute. So, you know, he learned to play all these things, keyboards, flute, saxophone. You know, basically early on, he was, you know, jamming all these instruments. He was a bit of a prodigy and a dancer as well.
This is amazing. So he's credited with developing a dance. Can you, what is this?
Okay. So yeah, I feel like a little background is needed here. I couldn't even, you know, so obviously in the '60s, there were all these sort of like dance crazes, you know, from, sure. You know, Batman doing the Bat-toozy on the TV show to, you know, the swim, the monkey. There were all these kind of dance crazes. It was kind of like a thing. And when he was 16, I guess, you know, some of him and his buddies came up with this one, the Woodbine Twine, which I would love to see in action. But sadly, I don't think we can. And he was basically spotted doing this by beloved DJ Herb the Cool Gent Kent, who passed just a little while ago. And he had all these events and stuff around Chicago at the time. So he started having young Durf perform at some of these events. And then it was sort of co-opted, his dance. It was kind of taken. There's a very popular sort of local song called Twine Time by Alvin Cash, who, you know, almost had national fame as well, but he was definitely, he was almost like the James Brown of Chicago or something. He did these songs where he's just sort of calling out these loose terms over a killer backing band, you know, who's grooving hard. And he did the song Twine Time, and he performed it on a couple shows, doing a sort of toned down version of the twine dance that Durf came up with. So is the lore.
Wow. And Durf was 16 when he kind of pioneered this dance. That's quite the story. So
yeah,
he, all right, he's, let's talk about more about like how he's going to, as he grows older here, how he's going to get into these multi instrumental situations here, because eventually, he is going to become someone who's pretty in demand as a sideman. But tell us where he goes next.
I mean, his career has so many diversions and
right,
paths.
Right.
Yeah, he basically started off on, like, you know, the ground floor of sort of Afrocentric spiritual jazz via the AACM, Association for Advancement of Creative Musicians, which is a absolutely legendary institution here in Chicago that so many important jazz musicians were part of. And yes, the more avant-garde sort of groundbreaking side, you know, of jazz, like Roscoe Mitchell and Anthony Braxton and Lester Bowie and all these guys. So he's like, you know, not even, I don't think he's even, you know, 21, and he's playing with these heavy hitter groundbreaking jazz cats in like 1965. Wow. So that was his next turn, you know, just as a multi-instrumentalist. And so then he starts finally, yeah, he's 20 after that. He starts his own band called the Black Spirits. And this is a pretty much like unrecorded, you know, thing that we will never get to hear, sadly enough. But they would perform around. It was basically him playing flute with a bunch of percussionists.
Wow.
I would love to hear what that sounded like sadly, but I could not find anything. I really don't think it was recorded. And so then he sort of caught the attention of Phil Coran, who was the very first subject I ever wrote of in Beck in 2004 for Secret History. Pretty much just, you know, I would need an hour to talk about all that guy seamlessly innovated.
Right.
I booked him for some events. He's sort of a deity in my world, shall we say. He started this thing called the Afro Arts Theater in 1967 on the South Side, which was just like an epicenter for Black culture in the day. Basically, Earth, Wind, and Fire came out of there. Chaka Khan came out of there. This pre-Earth, Wind, and Fire group, the Pharaohs, came out of there. And that, after joining the Coran's band, the Artistic Heritage Ensemble, which, again, so legendary, I would need about an hour to go into it. When Phil left, then he was in this thing called the Pharaohs, that, yes, more or less gave birth to Earth, Wind, and Fire.
There's so much more to his story here, and you do put it in your piece. Now, we don't have all day here, Steve, so we have to kind of pull some things together here, but we will say that he was playing, first of all, a bunch of instruments. I mean, different, you know, instruments on different records, different types of music. He was certainly in that jazz and fusion and funk area, for sure. How does he end up? How does the story sort of wrap up here?
Well, you know, like a lot of in-demand guys, they split for other pastures, usually New York or Los Angeles, and that is where he went, and he totally became in demand there. He's touring with everyone from, like, Aretha Franklin to the Guess Who.
Oh my God, wow.
It's just, you know, our Burton Cummings from the Guess Who.
Yeah.
You know, he right before he left, and this is kind of what made it click for me. I was like down the street at the record store, sadly closing down the street, Wild Prairie Records, and he had this kind of like P-funkish, like disco funk group called Ship of the Desert, and like Airy Brown, super acclaimed and amazing Chicago jazz guy, is on it. His brother's on it. This Brian Gregory, incredible guitarist. And it hit me. I'm like, oh my God, this guy did everything. You know, I saw his name on the record. It's a pretty coveted, rare kind of like, you know, thing that DJs spin and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, okay. Again, kind of like a P-funk kind of vibe a little bit. So I'm like, this guy just did everything. And then, yeah, he basically went to LA and did everything else, you know, you could do. He finally put out his own solo record. He collaborated with like hip-hop beat guys because they all love him. And had a real swan song to his career before he passed in 2020. And I just, you know, I barely heard about it. There was like, I went to Google it and I'm like, wow, there's not a single Chicago newspaper or institution that wrote him up. This Canadian website wrote it up when he passed. I was like, okay, I got to do some right here and, you know, give this man a Chicago-centric sort of eulogy, you know, because one was not done.
Well, this is quite the eulogy in the Secret History of Chicago Music strip in the Chicago Reader this week. So you can pick up a hard copy of the Reader. You can go online to chicagoreader.com and read the crazy story. And I say crazy in a great way. I mean, what an adventurous, very cool life that Durf Recklaw had. And of course, you could check out the hand drawing that Steve did of Mr. Durf Recklaw, profiled in the Secret History of Chicago Music. Steve, as always, sir, you as the author and the artist, I say thank you for all of your work. And man, can't we all just be as cool as Durf Recklaw?
That is true. And if you made it all the way to the end here, we're going to give you a little reveal. Durf Recklaw, Fred Walker backwards.
And That will do it. Outside the Loop show number 869 is done. Thank you so much for listening to the show this week. I appreciate you. I appreciate Bob Ferguson, who is our engineer in the WGN radio studio today. Have a wonderful week. I will talk to you again next time right here on Outside the Loop.